every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio. Every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, as well as streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. And we got a very special show today. We're going to be joined, for the third time, actually, in the history of After Dark Radio. Jason Offit is joining us here today. He's the author of Chasing North American Monsters. And so we're going to be talking about monsters. But in actually just a few days, I believe September 8th, his newest book will be out, which is titled Chasing North American Monsters. So it is expanded into Canada and Mexico. And so I got a lot of questions for Jason Offit. If you are watching via YouTube or Twitch, you're welcome to post questions for Jason Offit in the chat. The YouTube is f4wonline.com/YouTube. The Twitch is twitch.tv/f4wvideo. You can put your questions in either of those chat rooms. Or you're welcome to email me, brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. That is brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. Or you can send a text message, 425-780-7566. Any questions you have about monsters, really from anywhere in North America. And I got some questions as well. There was some new Bigfoot footage that came out a few days ago. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was up on YouTube, and I went up there to kind of get more, kind of refresh my memory, so to speak, and it's gone. It's been pulled. So I don't know what that means, but we're going to talk to him about that. Plus a lot of other topics, including a legendary creature. We normally see these blurry photos or etc., but there's at least one that was shot. We're going to talk about that on the program here today. Jason Offit, Chasing American Monsters, after the break. After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio. We are hopefully joined right now by Jason Offit. Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not sure what's happening, but you know what? I'm here right now, so that's great.
Google voice was not working right when we were coming back from the break. How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Yourself?
I'm doing quite well. This is the third time you've been on the program. And
I'll hope to be on a fourth. Try not to say any bad words.
That's right. Well, we probably will have to do a fourth because this new book is out in, 5 days now?
Right. You know what? Don't make me do any math whatsoever. It's due out in the 8th. What is that, Monday?
That's 5 days from now, in fact. Yes.
You know what? I better know it's Monday because that's the 8th and my anniversary is the 7th, so I got to get my day straight.
Yeah, don't screw that one up. Do not screw that
one
up.
Oh, don't screw that one up. No.
Well, for those who don't know, Jason Offit is joining us here today. He has a book out, Chasing American Monsters, and there is a new book coming out on Monday, Chasing North American Monsters, correct?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about the new book.
Well, I'll tell you about the old book first, because the old book, Chasing American Monsters, I've always been a huge fan of monsters, and I love reading about them, but, you know, we always get the same old ones over and over and over again. And a lot of times there are books that are, you know, monsters of the American Southwest or the American South or whatever, just regional things. I wanted to cover the whole United States. I wanted for somebody to pick the book up and you know, I'm like, I live in Hawaii, so I want to see what's going on. Hey, look at all these monsters in Hawaii I'd never heard of, or Rhode Island. I wanted everybody to have some sort of ownership to this book. So I covered all 50 states and yes, I did do Mothman. Yes, I did do, Momo, the Missouri Monster, you know, the Ohio Grassman, the ones that are well known, but I did a whole lot of other ones that, I'm sure a lot of people haven't heard before. Now, that's that book. The new one coming out on the 8th is the second in what I hope to be a long running series, the Chasing Monsters series. This is Chasing North American Monsters. I covered all the monsters I could find, from Greenland, you know, up there in the Arctic Circle, all the way down to Panama. And although I've already covered the United States extensively, I really kind of felt that I'd leave, you know, I didn't want to leave anybody out. So I covered the whole 50 states again with new monsters. Not very many, because I've already covered it, but I did add some new monsters, and there are some doozies in there too. It's a pretty fun book.
So I heard Chasing North American Monsters, and I just figured it was going to be like Canada and Mexico being added, but you've gone all the way north to Greenland and all the way south to Panama.
Right.
Wow.
Because technically North America is from, the Arctic Circle all the way down to Panama. Yeah.
You know, I love monsters as well, and I read the first book we talked about on the last show. We'll talk more about it here. But, you know, one thing about it is I, of course, as you noted, went right to the Washington section because I live in Washington and read about Bat Squatch and everything like that. But it was fun. You know, if you're into it, you know most of the monsters in your area anyway. And it was also fun to go and read about monsters in other parts of the country. But, you know, I was particularly interested in the idea of the North American monsters because when I thought about it, I don't really know anything about monsters like in Mexico. I mean, I can't even, I guess I maybe Chupacabra, but I don't even know if that's really a Mexican monster. And
it's more of a Puerto Rican monster.
Yeah. And as far as like Canada, it's like, I know about, you know, Bigfoot or whatever, but I know nothing about anything else in Canada and certainly nothing in Greenland. So very fascinated by this book here. Now, you mentioned on the last show that they came to you for this one. Is that correct? The publisher?
Yes, right, because Chasing American Monsters did really, really well. And they figured that, you know, if the United States had all these monsters, we could expand it. So I kind of suggested the expansion, and they went for it. And, yeah, we've got, from Greenland and Canada all the way. There were a lot of great ones, great monsters down in the Caribbean. And Mexico's got good ones. Belize has got good ones. It's really interesting to see the types of monsters, how they change from region to region as well. And I hope they, give me a call on many more monster books to come, because there's a lot still out there that I haven't covered.
Yeah, I am interested in regions because, you know, we had a person here asking, like, what's the difference between a Bigfoot and a skunk ape? And, you know, there's been a lot of talk, I guess, about Yowies in Australia of late. And essentially, all of these things are hairy, man-like beasts, okay? But depending on the region, they're different. So I guess, for example, tell us, you know, in your, what's the difference between a Yowie and a Bigfoot and a Sasquatch and a Yeti and a skunk ape?
Well, all of these, I mean, they kind of fit into the same category, and again, they don't. I'll expand things a little bit from there. There's a Sisamite from Central America, which is their version of Bigfoot. There's the Almasty from Asia, from Russia, the Yeren of China. We have big hairy critters all over the place, and the differences are not as much as you'd think. There are some. Let's stick with America for right now. Pacific Northwest, we got Bigfoot. Up in Canada, we got Bigfoot. That's the Harry and the Henderson side monster. Okay, we've got the skunk ape that's in Florida and down in the eastern south region. It's reported to look more like more orangutan like. It's thicker and shorter, but they have common aspects. The hair is long. The sounds they make, the behaviors that they have, the wood knocks, the shouting, the samurai chatter, the fact that they all smell like rotting meat and skunk, that is common throughout the world. The Yowie in Australia is very much described like the North American Bigfoot, except for the fact that it's a lot more violent than the North American Bigfoot. Bigfoot will throw stones toward you to scare you away. The Yowie will throw them at you. you're scared of Yowies. I can't remember the name of it, but even in Sri Lanka, you know, the island off of India has a Bigfoot legend. It's smaller than the other Bigfoots, but you know what? It's on an island, and that tends to happen to animals when they're stuck in a smaller environment. They don't grow as big. So, I mean, let's take a step back to America. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's New Hampshire has a Bigfoot, the Wood Devil, and they resemble a Bigfoot, except for they're really thin and they're gray and they're extremely shy. If they're seen, they hide behind trees, and if you approach them, they run away. You know, so there are a lot of similarities, but they're different enough to call them something different. The thing that interests me is the fact that some Bigfoot, like the skunk ape, looks more like an ape. Some Bigfoot also look more like a human. So that concerns me a lot more than is this hairy creature, you know, shorter than this one? Does it throw rocks? Does it just, you know, or not? I think that that some species of Bigfoot might be a lot closer to being our relatives than others.
Well, I want you to hold that thought, because I have a couple of questions regarding this when we come back from the break. So stick around, everybody. Jason Offit is here, Chasing American Monsters, Chasing North American Monsters, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
The show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. Jason Offit is joining us, Chasing American and North American Monsters, two books now. And I don't want to hijack the show talking about Bigfoot, but of all of the things that we talk about on this show, Bigfoot is the one that I think, you know what, could be out there. And I have some questions for you, since you've now done American and North American Monsters. Mm-hmm. So one of the most fascinating things that I ever read was that if you catalog all the Bigfoot sightings from Canada all the way down to California, and you look at all the reports, you will find that the further south you go, the smaller they are, and the further north you go, the larger they are, okay? So...
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about Bigfoot to me, okay? Mountain gorillas were discovered in like 1902. Prior to their discovery,
yes,
they were cryptids, but they were discovered. This is a big animal. 1902, okay? So I believe because of the size of everything and where it's located, and you talked about different regions, different sizes, and that island where they allegedly are seen and they're smaller. It's like when I hear things like that, what it tells me is, these people are seeing something, okay? They're not making it up. It doesn't make sense to make it up, but have all of these other things that tie into the biology of real animals. Because the further north you go, the bigger the animals are. The further south you go, the smaller they are. Like you said, islands, they don't grow to be as big. So people are seeing something, you know, whether it's a Bigfoot or not, I don't know, but they're seeing something. So what are your thoughts on that, and do you believe that there is likely some undiscovered ape-like creature out there somewhere in the world?
Okay, I'm going to touch on the size first. If you were living in an Arctic environment, you would have to eat a heck of a lot of protein to survive, to keep
yes.
up your body fat, to... So yes, the fact that they would grow bigger in that sort of environment makes sense to me. They wouldn't need as much farther south, and them being smaller, that makes sense to me as well. The thing of the island of their version of Bigfoot in Sri Lanka being smaller than the versions that we're talking about. The last population of mammoth was on Wrangel Island in Russia. Which was up there in the Arctic, and they survived until I think about 3,000 years ago, but they survived as pygmy mammoths because they were stuck on an island and they didn't have enough room to go anywhere to do much. So they had to shrink in size. Evolution made them shrink in size because that would help them survive better. All right. So size wise, this makes perfect sense to me. The part about what they are, here is what research that I've done and I'm listening to other researchers on Bigfoot has led me to believe is Bigfoot, at least a species of Bigfoot, might be related to us. A lot of the Native American and First Nations tribes. Felt that Bigfoot was just another type of person that they actually traded with and had dealings with and sometimes went to war with. The thing that really convinces me that some Bigfoot might actually be a type of human is the fact that DNA evidence says so in Alberta, Canada, a Bigfoot researcher there, had what he was convinced was Bigfoot hair. And he had a DNA, and you know, the DNA analyzed, and what it came back as was human, but with some anomalies. Dr. Melba Ketchum, here in the United States, had some Bigfoot, what she was certain was Bigfoot DNA. When it was analyzed, it was human with some anomalies. There was an Alma, which is the Russian Bigfoot, named her Zana, Z-A-N-A. This is 100 years ago, or a little bit more. She was captured by a village, and I have no idea why the village men wanted to have sex with a Bigfoot, but apparently they did. And she had offspring. One of her offspring, everyone in that village knew where he was buried. Well, a British researcher had him exhumed and did a DNA test on his remains, and it came back as human, but with some anomalies. Okay, what if these anomalies aren't what makes them big and hairy? And the rest of it is human. Could they be an extant, Neanderthal or Denisovian, or some other, you know, branch of the human species that we haven't discovered yet? I think that very well could be. And I hope I'm still alive when they find out, because I agree with you. I think if any of these monsters are going to be discovered and proven real, it's going to be the big hairy dude.
Now, when you investigated, you talked about Alberta. When you investigated stories in Canada, I mean, was it the same thing? Like, the further north you went, the bigger these were? Because it seems like the Canada stories are like 10, 12 feet tall.
Yeah, they're about that tall, yes. Now, here's something else that doesn't fit with all Bigfoot encounters, of course. But it's something that I've been interested in, and I've actually got a chapter on my book, Chasing North American Monsters, on this very thing. I'm from Missouri, and back in 1973, we had encounters of a monster that was dubbed Momo, Missouri Monster. And the strange thing about this Bigfoot was it had left three-toed footprints. The toes looked like claws. They were sharp. And that made me curious, but I did, because three toes, why? I don't know. But I did a little bit more research on other monsters from other states, and a state below Missouri, we've got Arkansas, the Folk Monster, which was made into the movie The Legend of Boggy Creek. It left three-toed clawed footprints. Let's go down one more state, Louisiana. They had the Honey Island Monster, three-toed clawed footprints. And I thought that was interesting that they all traveled, you know, along the Mississippi River. So I kept going north. And there were three-toed Bigfoot footprints in Iowa and Minnesota. And that got me curious, because if it is a undiscovered North American ape or a remnant human, it's not going to have three-toed clawed footprints. However, in Canada, they have a monster. The name starts with an M. Don't ask me what it is, because I couldn't pronounce it anyway. But it is a 10 to 20 foot tall, hairy monster. It's got, its head is kind of brownish to reddish, which a lot of Bigfoot encounters say brownish to reddish. It has a tail, though. The First Nations name, is called a beaver eater, because it tears open beaver lodges and eats them. It also eats leaves off trees and scratches the bark. It has three claws on its hands, if I can call them that, three claws on its feet. Okay, there's a similar monster in Belize that's called a cave cow, described exactly the same way. Go down to South America, there's a monster that is described exactly the same. The thing about these monsters is they fit the description of a Pleistocene giant ground sloth. And the Pleistocene giant ground sloths, there were in the Americas, there were two different varieties, one in North America, one in South America, but they were the same size. They had the same behavior, and they fit these descriptions perfectly. Is that what we're seeing up and down the Mississippi River? I can't say yes, but I also can't say no.
Well, it's also interesting that you can go north and south along a river, and the tracks are, like, on the same. Like, it's not scattered. It's kind of like, you know, on the topic, one more Bigfoot thing here, but it's always interesting that you also, there's no Bigfoot sightings in Hawaii. There's, like, a sighting in every state, but not Hawaii. So, again, this tells me that whatever it is people are seeing, it's real. Now, whether it's Bigfoot or not, who knows? I mean, you could argue that, well, the size is different up and down the coast because the size of bears is different up and down the coast, mm-hmm. and everyone's seeing bears. But the fact that, like, if people were just making up stories, there would be Bigfoot sightings in Hawaii. It's not like there's no forests in Hawaii, but there are none there. There are no Bigfoot sightings in Hawaii. So that's one of the things that always makes me think people are seeing something. What it is, I don't know. But it's not people making up stories.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that totally. There are so many reports, and they're so similar. And with the regional variations, they stick with all the stories. And, yeah, they're not in Hawaii. But, you know, look at where Hawaii is. Why would they show up there? You know, they're reported to be, you know, on islands, you know, out in the Pacific. But, you know, New Zealand was connected to Indonesia at one point. You know, during the Ice Age, it was. I mean, Australia was connected to all these places, too, which were connected to the mainland. So I can see, yeah, they could have traveled.
Yes. All right. Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk Mexican monsters. Back in a moment, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
I've got a question for you. Do you want a lower car payment just by making a phone call? You know, most people buy a car and they pay whatever the car dealer says their interest rate is, and they forget about it and make payments. But did you know there is a secret in your contract that allows another company to refinance any car payment to try and lower it? It's true. There is indeed a company out there that knows the ins and, more importantly, the outs on car loans, and they know how to lower your current car payments. It's easy and fast, and you could have a lower car payment next month. Make this free call right now and find out if you could lower your existing car payment. Call the Car Savings Hotline right now. The call is free.
Call now. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. That's 800-605-1680.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with need to sell my home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, streaming live, YouTube, and Twitch. Jason Offit joining us here today, chasing American monsters and chasing North American monsters. And Jason, I am half Mexican, and my grandparents were full Mexican, and my father as well. And they would tell a few weird stories when I was a kid, you know, about life in Mexico. But the only thing they ever talked about in terms of the paranormal, it was always witches. They were big into witches. And
right.
Is that like, what? Tell us about Mexico. What's down there?
Well, I mean, a lot of the monsters when it comes to Mexico, there are some lake monsters. There are their own version of Bigfoot. There are giants. There are a lot of creatures that are female and vengeful, who wait at night, along a lonely path, and wait for a drunk man to come by who maybe gambled earlier, wasted all of his family's money, or got drunk and wasted money that way. And this beautiful woman propositions them, and if they accept the proposition and start kissing her, they might find her head to be a skull as they start kissing her, or a horse's head, and then she kills them. That sort of creature, does not like drunken, cheating men. So you got to watch out for those. But witches are really, really important in a lot of Mexican folklore as well. There was I'd have to look this one up because I can't remember what state or city it was in. But there was a policeman in a part of town that was a little seedy, and all of a sudden, a woman flew into the front windshield of the police car and cracked the windshield, and he noticed that she had claws, like the claws of a bird of prey, and she was trying to claw her way in, and he was terrified and slammed the car into reverse and then slammed it into drive and got out, and she eventually was whipped off the windshield, but she was flying next to the car.
Now, you say flying, like, was she on a broom? What does that mean, she flew into the car?
No, more of a Superman sort of thing.
Really? It's certainly unusual.
Yes, he eventually disappeared, but when he made his report, he called her a witch.
So this is, I mean, you know, we hear about witches, Halloween's coming, everything like that, but I mean, certainly that's what, and actually the story that they told me, he said that there was like there was a hill, okay, it kind of went up and down, rolling hills or whatever, and you would see, you know, car or whatever, you'd see the lights go down the hill, and then they would come up the hill, and then you'd see them go down the hill, and they'd come up the hill, but every now and then you'd see lights, and they would just go straight. They weren't going up and down the hill. They would just float across, and those were the witches. So I guess technically we would probably refer to them as UFOs, but those were witches.
Well, there are a lot of orb reports that are called witches that
yes.
Very well could be UFOs as well. But Bruja and Brujo are, I mean, they figure really strongly in a lot of Mexican folklore. There are some witches that can discard their arms and legs and fly into the night. And what they do is they're searching for food, and they prey on babies. They drink the life essence out of babies and then fly back home and put their arms and legs back on and take a nap. And they can only be dispatched if somebody goes to their house and is able to find their arms and legs and burn them.
This does beg the question how they can reattach the arms and legs without arms and legs.
What? That's a great point. Yeah, but I'm not a Bruja, so I can't tell you that answer.
That's true, yes. Now, I must ask, since we talked about it earlier, about Greenland. What is in Greenland?
Oh, my God, what isn't in Greenland? There is a creature in Greenland, and I will get the name of this for you because it is absolutely terrifying. It is a creature, because a lot of things have to do with cold, of course, because Greenland is cold.
Yeah, the irony for those of you, for those of you that don't know, the irony is that Greenland is cold and icy, and Iceland is green. How did that happen?
Right. Well, the Iceland, I'm not sure about, but the Greenland, when the Vikings discovered it, they wanted people to go out there. So as a PR move, they referred to it as Greenland.
I see. A PR move.
And in Greenland, this is something very fascinating I found. There is a forest in Greenland. It's 14 kilometers long inside a valley. That's it.
Wow.
The produce that they grow are tubers. They grow like potatoes and carrots, just things that grow underneath the ground. During their summers, so yeah, not a lot of green in Greenland.
But what creatures live in Greenland?
Yeah, We have Greenland. I'm having to look this up because I can't remember the name of it. But a lot of creatures in Greenland are absolutely ravenous. There's one called the Ikusik. I'm probably mispronouncing this, so any Inuit people listening, I'm apologizing. But the Ikusik means elbow in Inuit. It is a humanoid creature that started off as a human that went out into the snow and eventually died. So we have a human corpse out in the snow that died because of the cold, but some of these come alive again, and they're buried first, and then they come alive again if a person desecrates their graves. Ikusik, being elbow, is called such because by the time the grave gets desecrated, the arms have rotted up to the elbow, and it uses its elbows to drag itself across the ice, dragging its useless legs behind it and leaving a streak mark of blood in the snow as it chases down very quickly, I might add, the person who desecrated its grave.
Jeez.
Oh, and then it eats its prey alive if it catches it, so yay.
Well, now I know why it's called the elbow. That's its locomotion.
Yeah. Well, it needs probably some Bactine.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still make that.
It's interesting because, like, the stories, this kind of story, sometimes you hear these stories and it's like, where do these stories even come from? But, there have been, over the course of history, many, many incidents where, someone is declared dead because, you can't feel a pulse or whatever and they're gone. But they're actually not dead. And then, either during, like, sometimes it'll be during the funeral, they'll wake up in the coffin or sometimes they'll be buried and they're actually not dead, and so they dig their way out. So these things do rarely happen, and my guess is that they're probably the source of a lot of these stories of creatures rising from the dead.
Well, I think there are two explanations. That is one. That is a good one, and I think because there are a lot of times when the body is cooled enough that it will seem dead, but if it's warmed, they will come back.
Sure.
So that very well could have something to do with it. But a lot of stories I've found, and this is a worldwide phenomena, a lot of things I've found that parents will tell their children stories so they won't go outside the house at night. They won't leave the firelight. They won't. In the case of Greenland, they won't go out in the snow alone away from the village because they might turn into one of these or they might be eaten by one of these.
Yes, cautionary tales.
Yeah. I was a kid, it was Watch Out for the Clown in the White Van.
Oh, man. So you're about my age?
Yeah.
I remember
and
all
that
those.
That was in the 80s, man.
Yeah, and actually, it happens every 5-10 years or so, actually.
Yeah.
It seems to be a recurring. I want to ask this because I plugged this before you came on that you would talk about this, but there is at least one monster where you wrote about how we always get these bad photos or reports or whatever, but the Shunka Warakin, is that correct? There was a legendary beast that was actually shot and hung on a wall?
This was in the 1800s. I almost said, since you said I'd talk about it, I almost said I wasn't going to talk about it. Then of course I am. Yeah, Shunka Warakin. That means the eater of dogs. This was in Wyoming, Montana. I think it was in Montana. A rancher noticed that this wolf-like creature was, preying on his livestock. And he went to put an end to it. I think it might have been 1877 around there somewhere. And he shot and killed it. And it kind of looked like a wolf, but it didn't look like a wolf. It kind of looked, it was kind of canine, but not entirely. It had its front legs were longer than its rear legs. So its back was sloped. It had a big mouth full of teeth. And the description was more like a hyena than a wolf. And it was stuffed. The animal is still around, but the person who owns it now, nobody has ever allowed for DNA testing.
Mm.
So we're not sure exactly what it is, but the picture does not look like a wolf. They did take a picture of it. You can find it on the internet. The interesting thing is North America had a couple of had a species of hyena and a species of mock hyena. It was a creature that wasn't a hyena, but really looked like one, but it wasn't genetically attached to the hyena. So we had creatures that fit the description of the Shunka Warakin, but they, died back in the Pleistocene. And this is something that keeps coming up in the monsters that I look into, is the fact that a lot of monsters that should have died 10,000 years ago, people still report seeing them. And given the fact that 40% of the United States is inhabited, there's more of Canada that isn't, that is uninhabited, probably a lot that's unexplored. Could there be pockets of these creatures still living out there? Maybe.
I'm looking at a photo of this beast. It calls it the Beast. And it's the Madison Valley History Association Museum in Ennis, Montana. Which I don't think is all that far away from me. So I'm tempted to drive out there one of these days and check
it out. Road trip!
That's going to be a road trip to go see this thing. But yeah, it looks kind of like a... I mean, here's the thing. So we have a place called the Old Curiosity Shop here, and they have a mermaid, which is obviously like one of those old school gaffes. It's like, probably a monkey's body and a fish's tail sewn together. It's like, obviously,
Yeah.
But this doesn't look like any sort of gaffe. It looks like a stuffed animal of some sort. Well, stick around. We'll be back in a moment to plug the books. After Dark Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time.
800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, twitch.tv/F4WVideo, video.f4wonline.com. Jason Offit is joining us here today. And the current book we've been talking about on the show is Chasing American Monsters. And this Monday, September 8th, also his anniversary, Chasing North American Monsters will be available. And Jason, tell us a little bit more about the books, where we can find them, and anything else you'd like to plug.
All right. So, yes, the books are my love story to monsters, as many as I could find. This is going to sum it up. One of the comments made in a review on Amazon for Chasing American Monsters was, "I love this book. I've used it to find new monsters for my Dungeons and Dragons campaign."
Wow.
Okay. That is what I wanted. I don't cover any monster really in depth. I want this to be a toilet book. I know that sounds gross. I don't care. People read on the toilet. I want to give people a brief introduction to a monster, the culture the monster arrived in. The time, what was going on during that time, and just have them enjoy every single monster that they get. I covered America, or the United States of America, in Chasing American Monsters. I covered all of North America in Chasing North American Monsters. And I have another one coming out in 1 year, Chasing the World's Monsters, Volume 1.
Wow.
That is my first plug for that one. So pay attention. In about 9 months, it'll be open. It'll be ready for pre-order. Chasing North American Monsters is ready for pre-order right now from Llewellyn.com. That's my publisher, or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, any major bookseller is going to have it as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for doing the show today. We're rebooking you for after the new book comes out. And again, for when the new book comes out a year from now. So thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next time. After Dark Radio Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.